Welcome to The Mountain Life. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Mary Beth Maziarz. Chronic disease now affects nearly half of American adults, and inflammation is often the invisible driver. Functional medicine clinician Dr. Josh Redd joins us to explain why modern life keeps our immune systems in a constant state of overdrive, and how his science-based 30-day inflammatory reset can help people reclaim energy, clarity, and vitality through practical changes to diet, lifestyle, and environment.
Dr. Redd is the founder of Red River Health and Wellness, with one center located in Salt Lake City. In his new book, The 30-Day Inflammatory Reset, he will take us through some recipes and how hidden inflammation is driving chronic illness. Dr. Redd, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, let's just start with this really big picture question about inflammation. I feel like for 20 years now, inflammation has been this topic. It's all about inflammation in our bodies. How does inflammation create chronic disease?
It's a fascinating topic and something that is really destroying American lives. We are the sickest population, sickest country of the 13 developed countries in the world, and we're probably triple the cost. And the key driver to almost all disease is inflammation. We have what's called pattern recognition cells. And these cells in our body are really, really important. As these cells kind of recognize viruses, bacteria, anything that's hazardous to our body, it will strike this inflammatory process to attack it and to get rid of it. And what happens is these pattern recognition cells are fantastic, and inflammation is fantastic for just short bouts of time. But when we have these cells get fired over and over and over, striking inflammation for a prolonged period of time, this causes havoc on our brain, on our immune system, on our intestinal tract, and throughout our whole body, and really creates so many different diseases and problems.
So what is inflammation really look like in our bodies? I mean, are we talking about inflammation in our joints, inflammatory responses in our organs, or what?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when we have inflammation short term, let's say we sprain our ankle, you get that inflammation in the ankle, it becomes swollen and inflamed, right? What happens is you can actually have that go throughout the whole body, where you have water retention, achy joints. In the brain, ironically, brain inflammation looks like depression and fatigue. A lot of individuals, our old school way of treating depression, for example, was you have a lower neurotransmitter, you just replace it with a neurotransmitter, and that's it. In reality, what we're finding out too with brain inflammation is it actually decreases all neurotransmitters and causes a variety of problems, and our brain doesn't fire well. And so now the new model of treating depression is actually treating the brain inflammation in and of itself, because you're optimizing overall neurotransmitter function for the whole brain. And so in kids, unfortunately, when it comes to brain inflammation or inflammation in general for kids, it could look like neurobehavioral issues. It could look like them getting sick really consistently. It could look like their brain just isn't developing properly, or even any type of behavioral issues. And so that's kind of the scary thing for us, is when it comes to our kids, I don't think we realize our kids wake up and have, you know, Cheerios for breakfast, and then they have chicken nuggets for lunch, and then they have candy throughout the day, and then they're on their phones constantly with this blue light causing brain inflammation and issues. And they're not developing properly, they're not behaving properly, they feel horrible, they don't really know how to say it. And yet we as parents have to step up and start to realize we need to help our kids and help our own selves when it comes to this inflammatory process that we're being bombarded. We are definitely right in the middle of this inflammatory crisis across the country, and nobody realizes it. And for me, we see probably 200 to 300 patients a day throughout my 10 clinics that are suffering with pretty severe chronic conditions. And the mechanism really, for the most part, is they come in with this inflamed state, and that just drives their chronic condition and drives their chronic symptoms. And not many people are having this conversation.
Wow. So inflammation, though, does serve a purpose in its initial stage, right? Like, so we sprain our ankle and it gets swollen.
Yeah.
The body's trying to do something to alert us to the fact that it's sending in, you know, helpers or whatever, right? So is the issue that the inflammation just never has a chance to calm down, or is it a much bigger systemic thing?
Yeah, that's a great question. Inflammation for short bouts of time are fantastic. It's life-saving. We love it. When we strike inflammation on a consistent basis and cause this chronic inflammatory long-term process, that's when it becomes hazardous, and that's when it becomes a problem. That's when our body can't really function. Inflammation really impacts our brain. It impacts our intestinal tract. It impacts our liver, impacts our blood sugar levels. It impacts, you know, our mental clarity and our brain function. It impacts so many different things. And so if it's a chronic long-term issue, it really causes a lot of different hazards on our health for sure.
Wow. And so I'm wondering, what brings people to your clinics? Is it that the inflammation has created states of disease throughout their bodies? Or is it that the disease is causing the inflammation? Like, what's the chicken and the egg?
Yeah, it's kind of
relationship.
It's a great question. A lot of the times, here's the thing, is most chronic disease out there in our country is really the underlying mechanism is driven by inflammation. So if somebody has an autoimmune disease and they come into our clinic, one of the best things that we'll do is we'll actually check for inflammatory markers, and we'll see at what level do they have chronic inflammation. And then from there, we'll look to see, okay, what dietary triggers are causing inflammation? What physiological triggers are causing inflammation? And how can we go through step by step and correct these imbalances one by one, and then teach this individual how to eat, how to go throughout their day to live more of an anti-inflammatory lifestyle, and their autoimmune condition will be significantly improved. They might have 0 to 5 good days a month before they see us, and they've gone to 10 different doctors. And by the time they're done, they might have 20 to 25 good days a month, and their quality of life is significantly better. And really the mechanism of what we really did was we identified the triggers that cause inflammation, we identified how to improve them, and then we taught the patient how to live a more anti-inflammatory lifestyle. And really, now that's specific between each patient. What might cause me to flare up from a dietary standpoint might be a little bit different than what causes you to flare up from a dietary standpoint. Maybe different physiological triggers like blood sugar imbalances or a methylation problem I might have that causes inflammation. You might have other physiological imbalances like hormonal dysfunction and blood sugar imbalances, right? And so those change, but really as we start to correct those imbalances and help that patient improve their overall physiology and improve what they eat, that can calm down inflammation, you know, quite drastically, and it makes a big impact. But whether I have an autoimmune patient or a patient with, let's say, schizophrenia and celiac disease, or a patient with neurofibromatosis type 2, as we improve inflammation, it's going to significantly improve that patient's condition and that patient's overall quality of life for sure.
I'm going to ask a question, but kick it off with how I first heard about your wellness centers. A friend of mine was at the end of her rope. She was going to have knee surgery. Her knees were painful all the time. Someone told her about Red River Wellness. She went in, started off, you know, evaluating food sensitivities, and she found out that one of her foods that she could not eat was eggs. And she eliminated that, you know, fast forward 6 months, she's lost 50 pounds. She no longer has knee pain. And the story's, you know, it's a wonderful story. Now, for any of us, I mean, not all foods are created equal. Some of us have triggers to different types of foods. And can you talk about, in the case of my friend, say, you know, maybe 2 years later, she wouldn't have the food sensitivity to eggs and she could go on. How do we best ascertain? Do we have to have a food sensitivity test once a year to find out what our triggers are? Or can we just follow some standards?
Isn't that fascinating, though? Your friend has knee pain and she's about to get surgery. And in reality, it's more of a physiological imbalance or a food intolerance that triggers the knee pain from a bigger, probably more autoimmune component, right? And now she's doing significantly better. That's pretty cool. Most people don't realize, hey, if I eat better and if I do things better in my own life, my back pain will actually be better. And it's true. We don't realize the impact that food has on our over physiology. It impacts our joints, it impacts our brain, it impacts our immunology, it impacts our biochemistry, all that stuff, which is quite fascinating. So it's so fun to hear about your friend. But what we typically do at Red River is we'll do a food intolerance test, but those can be pretty inaccurate. And typically when a person's really, really sick, they're gonna have like 15 food intolerances before they come to us. Because they have intestinal permeability issues, their hormones are an absolute mess, so it's causing their immune system to be over-resilient. They'll have what's called biotransformation problems of the liver, which is actually a detoxification issue. And so they're in this like toxic inflamed state. So their food intolerances are this, their list of food intolerances are like this big, right? But what we do is we also, instead of just doing a food intolerance test, we put our patients on an anti-inflammatory diet. And I talk about this in my book in detail, where we'll have our patients avoid inflammatory foods. And we know kind of what foods cause inflammation for the most of our patients, just because I have such a massive patient population. And we've been doing this for 16 years. We probably have the largest autoimmune and inflammation clinic in the United States right now, with the 10 clinics that I own. But we put our patients on this inflammatory reset program for the first 30 days, and we have them avoid inflammatory foods. So it'll be foods like gluten, dairy, egg, soy, things like that. You know, there's a lot of really inflammatory grains out there, so we have them avoid a lot of grains. Buckwheat and quinoa are pretty much the only grains we allow them to eat. But they do that for 30 days. And then in conjunction with the food intolerance test and them avoiding those inflammatory foods, they'll feel quite a bit better just avoiding those inflammatory foods. We also do some things to help improve their overall physiology. So they'll be taking some things to help improve different imbalances in their blood work. They'll also be doing some things to help with brain function and all that as well. But for the most part, they can do the 30-day inflammatory reset. And they can start to see improvements. And then at the 30-day mark, we'll start adding foods back in slowly but surely. And we'll kind of hold their hand and walk them through this. And my book does this as well, where we add in a food and then they monitor their symptoms for the next 3 to 5 days. And as long as they don't have symptoms or issues, then we can move on to the next food and go from there. And so we kind of go through this process with these patients. And they start to realize if they add in a food and instantaneously within 2 hours, they feel as bad as they did before they started, it's a significant change. Like a lot of our patients don't realize how bad they feel until they actually feel really good, right?
Yeah.
And so it's a pretty fascinating response that we see with these patients. But by the time they're done and we've kind of improved a lot of their physiological imbalances and we've coached them through what to eat, what not to eat, what flares them up, what doesn't, they may only be intolerant to one or two foods. Here's the crazy thing though. So we have this intestinal lining that's really nice and thick. With an autoimmune patient or a patient struggling with lots of inflammation, this lining in the intestinal tract becomes really thin. And that barrier really becomes broken. And we start to absorb food proteins into the bloodstream that we shouldn't just from what we're eating. And in reality, it should be a really protective barrier there. But what happens is these patients will eat food. These food proteins don't get broken down properly. They get absorbed into the bloodstream, and then it causes a significant inflammatory response because our immune system, remember those recognition, pattern recognition cells that I talked about the first? Mm-hmm. They recognize like, what in the heck is this? Is this in the bloodstream? And it strikes up this inflammatory response and it causes issues. What's fascinating though with these patients is guess how long it takes to break down that intestinal lining if they eat something that's highly inflammatory to them, to where they start to absorb food proteins into the bloodstream? 3 minutes.
Oh my goodness.
Whoa.
Yeah. So if this patient, you know, let's say they're severely intolerant to gluten or to egg like your friend, and they decide, you know what, I'm just going to eat this just one time. It only takes 3 minutes to break that down, that intestinal lining. And then guess how long it takes us to improve it?
30 days to reset, for starters.
It can take up to 60 to 90 days to fully improve it.
Wow.
Yeah. So you think about that. We take our patients through this long process. They'll have this list of really, a really big list of foods that are inflammatory. Once we correct all the imbalances and we start to add foods back in, their bodies function a lot better, and they may only be intolerant to one or two foods. But if they go and they decide, okay, I'm going to eat those one or two foods consistently, they would be as bad as they were before they started, and it can take 2 to 3 months to repair all that stuff again. So, you know, diet is a really important thing. If your friend ate eggs, for example, she might experience knee pain greater than she's ever experienced it, because now she doesn't have the knee pain anymore. And you go from 0 to 100, she's going to be a lot more pain, a lot more issues, right?
Yeah. Interesting. If you're just joining us on The Mountain Life, we're speaking with Dr. Josh Redd. He's the founder of Red River Wellness and also the author of a new book, The 30-Day Inflammatory Reset, with over 90 recipes and a meal plan. Well, let's get into a little bit of the foods that you're talking about. And I'm going to fast forward to the part on smoothies, because different healthcare practitioners talk about smoothies in different ways. I love smoothies. Most of us love smoothies, right? And some people will say, don't drink your food. Don't drink your food. That's, you know, the enzymatic process can't happen in your mouth and da, 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 da. What's your take on smoothies?
We love smoothies if there's enough fiber and it's not just full of fruit. You know, if our patients do a fruit smoothie, for example, and all it is fruit, it could be like eating Laffy Taffy. It could spike blood sugar levels, spike insulin, and the patient could have a significant inflammatory flare-up. And so as long as there's a good amount of fiber in there, there's a good amount of vegetables in there, I love smoothies, you know. So like, for example, one of my favorite smoothies, we put chia seeds, we put cucumber, we put kale, we put apples and frozen bananas and coconut milk, organic coconut milk. And we blend that up and it is incredible. And it doesn't spike blood sugar levels. It provides you with all the fiber and the nutrients. And so, you know, we don't have this chronic inflammatory crisis because we drink too many smoothies, right? I mean, we're eating absolute garbage, processed food. It's not even real food anymore. It's just this synthetic stuff. And our body's wondering what in the heck is going on. So as long as it's not a smoothie that's only fruit, I love smoothies. I think smoothies is a great thing to do and a great little snack. And it's great for our body. We can have a lot of really cool gut healing smoothies. That one smoothie that I just talked about, we'll add in ginger as well. It's incredible. There's so many different healing properties to ginger and all those different all those different ingredients that I said.
Yeah, and it's so, I think if you shift to thinking it may be like a green drink that occasionally has a couple fruits in there to make it more palatable, you can fit in a lot of nutrition first thing in the morning. It's amazing.
It's so easy. And look, here's what I'll do with my patients. One of the most common inflammatory things that we see in our patient population is just unregulated blood sugar levels. And so what we'll do for our patients is we'll put on a continuous glucose monitor and we'll have them wear that and then track their blood sugar levels. And that's the guide that kind of tells them, are a smoothie good for them? Or is there too much fruit in their smoothie or whatnot too? If we can keep our blood sugar levels 80 to 130, no matter what they eat, then they're golden. They can smoothie and do all that stuff as well. And it's a lot easier. Like you can put a lot of great things in a smoothie that can make it beneficial. And it's just jam packed full of nutrients and all sorts of great stuff.
You bring up a great point. I just got my husband and I some of the glucose wearable monitors to use with our Oura Rings for, you know, just to do a little hacking ourselves. And that it is very individual, though. What might send somebody's blood sugar through the roof might not affect another person the same way. And even my husband, he can drink a Coke with dinner. And if I did that, I would be up till like 3 a.m. But, you know, how our chemicals and macronutrients affect us all is so different. Yeah. Are there any other kind of really unexpected foods that can cause inflammation for some people, even foods that people all think of as healthy?
The most common foods that we see that flare up inflammation, if I said, let's say the top three, would be gluten. Conventional dairy is really common. Those two have similar proteins and just are really inflammatory. We spray a lot of our grains with glyphosate and that causes lots of problems, but we just see in our clinic, gluten and dairy can be like rat poison for a lot of our patients. Alcohol is one of those things that we tell our patients not to drink alcohol. If they want to like go through this process, alcohol can really impact inflammation. It destroys what's called the enteric nervous system, which is the neurological system that comes from our brain and wraps around our whole intestinal tract. And then it also causes severe brain inflammation too. And then like we talked about, just super ultra processed sugars. Those are really inflammatory. High fructose corn syrup, those things like that. Just If we can just stabilize glucose, that's one huge inflammatory trigger down. If we can keep our blood sugar levels between 80 to 130, our patients are doing significantly better. It's when we start to see them drop or be too high that causes a really stressful response for our body, and then that induces a ton of inflammation. Probably one of the most common inflammatory things that we see. You want to know what another really common inflammatory thing is, though, that we don't really think of, is birth control. For a lot of our patients, we see too high of estrogen will actually really dramatically increase inflammation. And so birth control is a common thing that we've seen over the last many years that really just puts our patients' inflammatory response through a roof and causes so many different problems. And then as women go through perimenopause and menopause, too low of estrogen actually will induce severe inflammation. And so, you know, just modulating and optimizing hormones and estrogen in general can be huge, but birth control for our younger female population and then too low of estrogen is probably one of the biggest triggers that we see too.
Could you give us just in a nutshell, maybe what an ideal lunch or dinner might look like if you are in the beginning stages of the 30-day inflammatory reset?
Yeah, I just did a bunch of videos on my Instagram showing what we ate. And one of my favorite ones that I eat all the time is a chicken noodle soup. It's like an anti-inflammatory chicken noodle soup. And instead of noodles, we use cabbage. And it's so good. So we do a chicken noodle soup with cabbage. We do the P.F. Chang lettuce wraps. Have you ever had those before? With coconut aminos instead of soy. And those are incredible. You know, another thing too is just vegetables and protein, like a really good source of chicken or salmon or fish with vegetables. I mean, that's a great meal, and that's going to stabilize glucose, and it's anti-inflammatory. Instead of using inflammatory oils too, we use coconut oil, olive oil, those types of things. But in reality, you can eat a lot of things on the anti-inflammatory diet. It's just, we're just not eating things that are in bags. We're eating real food, fruits, vegetables, beans, peas, nuts, seeds, lots of proteins like chicken, fish, turkey, lamb. Those are all really good things that we eat. And for the most part, our patients do incredibly well when we put them on that initial inflammatory reset diet.
It all sounds wonderful. Well, Dr. Josh Redd, we've got to let you go, but I have just that one more question.
I love it.
As it relates to recently, I've learned that I don't eat nearly enough protein. And so my goal.
Which that in of itself, I'll cut you off real fast.
Yeah.
One of the biggest problems we see in our female population is they just don't get enough protein.
Okay.
And as soon as we improve their protein intake, that stabilizes glucose, that will help stabilize hormones. Just that one change. Okay, keep going.
Well, I think you just answered my question. Well, protein in the morning, like I've learned, first 30 minutes, you got to get your protein in. And I was one of those people who, you know, would wait for a couple of hours before I would eat. And so what about things like food combinations and timing, time of day and things like that? Does that also tie into inflammation?
Yeah, you're correct on waking up and having like, it sounds weird for our patients, but waking up and having protein and veggies first thing in the morning is fantastic. Instead of what we usually do is we wake up, we have pancakes, a muffin, things like that, which is just gonna spike blood sugar levels, and then you set yourself up for failure the rest of the day. What we don't realize too is that our blood sugar levels are directly tied to our hormones. And so if we wake up in the morning and we don't have protein and we have something that's just high in sugar, let's say we have a coffee, and let's say we have a muffin. That's gonna spike blood sugar levels, but it puts our adrenal glands into a stress response, and the adrenal glands will steal away reproductive hormones and convert them into cortisol. So then we have this blood sugar imbalance, and then we have hormonal imbalances that we just started our day with, right? Which is pretty crazy to think about. But on top of that, the food combination thing is fantastic, because if I'm gonna eat something that's a little bit higher in sugar, if I wrap that with protein and let's say fiber, it's gonna minimize the glucose absorption. It's not gonna have near as an impact as if I just ate the glucose in of itself, right? Just by itself. And so food combination is something that we teach our patients in great detail. If they're going to have something that's a little bit higher in sugar, if they go out and they eat it with a protein and then they go walk, they're not going to have a flare up, an inflammatory flare up like the person would if they just ate, you know, that glucose, high glycemic food on its own, which is pretty good.
Dr. Josh Redd, the book is The 30-Day Inflammatory Reset, and we will also post your Instagram, and where else can we find all this great information?
Yeah, so you have the inflammatoryreset.com is my book webpage, but then I have my clinics, which are Red River Health and Wellness, we have 7 across the Western United States, 5 in Utah, which is pretty cool. And then I have a stem cell and kind of longevity clinic called Palma Vita Clinic. And then we have another clinic in Orem called Provo Health.
Wonderful. Well, you're doing such great work. And I'm so glad we talked to you in early January because
this is the perfect time. Like in reality, I'll tell you this. This is the time we see patients at their worst. They've gone through the holidays. They've ate absolute garbage. They've been extremely stressed out. They have a lack of sleep. And then they roll into January, and they are the most inflamed out of any time of the year. And we see it every single year this exact same way. So this is a perfect time to have the podcast for sure.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Josh.